one of the great things about the job I do is I get to go into loads of different schools, and I often talk to the children that I see about how they're feeling about things that they do in school. And I quite often use a scale. It's nice and visual, and they can relate to it quite well. So we talk about things that when they feel really, really happy, really settled, things are really good. That's normally playtime. That's good if it's playtime. I like to hear that. And then, you know, possibly those things when they're feeling really down or upset and don't feel good about things at all. That's often homework. They're down that end. But I was thinking about that when we were... Actually, when we had our devotionals over Easter, they were brilliant, weren't they? Thank you for all those people that took part in those. They were brilliant. I was thinking about, actually, you know, what a roller coaster of emotions that it was for those disciples and the followers of Jesus over, if we look back over the last kind of 2 months, what a roller coaster that would have been. They had that amazing excitement of that entry into Jerusalem when they were so excited and on a buzz. And then they had the horror of Jesus being arrested, and the horror of watching him die on the cross. And then that period, which must have been just utter despair of just not knowing just what was going to happen next. And then that amazing experience of the resurrection, and actually meeting and seeing Jesus again and understanding that he was alive. And then they had a period of about 40 days that Jesus kept appearing to them, kept being with them. And he'd eat with them, and he'd talk with them, and he'd teach them. And then we got to the time, to this time. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he has promised, as I have told you before. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore the kingdom?" But he replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. They are not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. And as they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing there staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return in the same way as he saw you go." So Jesus was taken up before their eyes, and he left them. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all met together, and they were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and several other of the women, and the brothers of Jesus.
What were they doing? They were being obedient to what Jesus had said to them. He said, go back into Jerusalem and wait. So they went back to Jerusalem. They went into the room, they went to the temple, and they prayed. And they kept praying. They didn't know how long. Jesus said it'll be in a few days. What's a few days? If I say to you, I'm going to come and see you in a few days, what do you think? 2 days? 3 days? I might think it's 7 days. It ended up being 11 days. 11 days. But they were obedient. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know what the Holy Spirit was going to do when it turned up. But they were being obedient. Jesus said to them, this is the next step I want you to do. One step, go back a mile and a half into Jerusalem and wait. That's all he said. And that's what they did. One step. He didn't say, you're going to do this, 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 and this. He just said, just do this. One step. And wait. And that's what they did. Let's move on to Acts 2. Acts 2, 1 to 4.
On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like tongues or flames of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability.
Okay, so 10 days of waiting and then the Holy Spirit turns up. And it's sound of a mighty rushing wind. Now who else heard that? Jerusalem was full. Because it was the festival of Pentecost. Okay? So many days after the first harvest, they have to come. It's one of the three festivals that they have to travel to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was full. It was heaving. Okay? But these guys, these ladies have been waiting. And it turns up. And it comes in like a rushing wind, and it says it lands on them like tongues of fire sitting on their head. Can you imagine, you know, if all of a sudden my hair caught on fire, you'd be rushing out with tea towels and other bits to put it out, and I'd be end up being bald and I've got hair, you know. But no, tongues of fire. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know what was going to happen or how it was going to happen. But they waited. They took that step and they waited. And then it turns up. And then stuff really starts happening. Now, was God waiting for them to be right? Or was God waiting for the time to be right? Which one? Was he saying, well, I'm not going to move because they're not right yet? Or was he saying, no, my time is right now. I'm going to act now. Acts 2, 5 to 13.
At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things that God has done. They stood amazed and were perplexed. What can this mean? They said to each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. And then Peter stepped forward from the 11 other apostles, and he shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. It's much too early for that. No. What you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Peter's words pierced their hearts. Jump to verse 37 if you're following me. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, it's to your children, and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord God.
Ooh, strong words. Where did they come from? Great big long list. Mike, can you stick that map up for me, please? Oh, gosh. They came from everywhere. They came from everywhere because they were converts to Judaism. Okay? They came back to Jerusalem. They've come miles. They've travelled. And they all spoke so many different languages. Rachel was with Rosie one time in a shop in Crawley. And there was a person there with a young child speaking a different language. And Rosie at 3 couldn't quite understand what that language was. So she went up to this little girl and went, and this little girl looked at Rosie, and Rachel didn't quite know whether to split herself with laughter or what. But Rosie at three couldn't understand what this other language was, that Eastern European language was, that this little girl was talking to her mum and her mum to her. And so she just spat a load of gobbledygook. And, yeah, we live in a multicultural society. We hear lots of different languages. And this is what was in Jerusalem. And yet they all said, when they went out and started speaking, they all heard it in their native tongue. Now these guys were Galileans. They had not just done a degree or a master's in theology or something else in science or in maths or something else. They were just Galileans. Some of them were fishermen. Some of them were tax collectors. They were different things. They were just, whoa, hang on, these are Galileans. Whoa, 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 whoa. But God had done what he said he was going to do through Jesus, was send him the Holy Spirit. Jesus had the Holy Spirit in him as much as he had the Father in him, because he was part of the Trinity. But today marks the start of where we're at. We weren't around when Jesus walked the earth. We weren't around when David wrote the Psalms. But now we live in the period of time when Jesus has ascended and the Holy Spirit has come. We live now. And that's what excites me about today, about reading about this, is now we live. Yes, it might be 2,500 years later, but we still live in this period of time. Jesus has not returned. We still celebrate communion. We do that when we celebrate, like we did last Sunday morning, communion of the bread and the wine, of his body and his blood, because we do that until he returns. But to help us now, he has sent that Holy Spirit. They stepped out and they were bold. And what Peter was saying, oh, what did they say? What did he end up saying? It pierced their hearts. He quoted back from Joel. Okay? He went back into Joel and talked about, yeah, I'm an old man now, so I don't see, but I dream dreams now. Yeah, younger men see visions. I'm a bit older, so I must be dreaming dreams. But that only happens when we let that Holy Spirit come into us and flow through us. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Now, we've got to go on to Paul. We've got to go to 1 Corinthians 12:11-7. You got a technical hitch. Won't say much.
First Corinthians 12:7-11. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives us the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. And still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts, and he alone decides which gift each person should have.
Gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, Paul is talking about. Up here in Corinthians, they've got going in the early church. They're no different to you and me. Okay? They get things right, they get things wrong. And actually, some of the things they were doing were a little bit wrong. But Paul, okay, when he set off on a missionary journey with Barnabas, they actually had the gifts of the Spirit. They had the lot. As did the apostles. They had the lot. If you carry on reading in Acts, Peter and John do healing. They do prophecy. They speak in tongues. They speak words of knowledge. They have discernment. And same with Paul and Barnabas when they go out and set up the early churches and they travel around. But then as they leave them, the churches carry on and they leave them with the Spirit. And some of the people actually start using the gifts of the Spirit. And sometimes they don't quite get it right. And Paul's writing back to them and actually, just hang on. This is what happens. These are the gifts. You use them. What were the gifts? Can you remember what the gifts were? Special words of knowledge, healing, performing miracles, prophecy, the ability to discern whether the message was from the Spirit of God, discernment,
faith.
Bringing words, speaking in tongues, and then another, the ability to discern what was being said, to be able to tell the people what the other language was. These were the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is what came at Pentecost. This is what comes now. We have the ability to have these gifts now because we live in that era. We live from that day. In some sense, it's really exciting. In other sense, it's really scary, isn't it? But we see these gifts being used. Sometimes we get so hung up on tongues and the interpretation that we forget about healing, words of knowledge, prophecy, discernment. Then he goes on and he ends up writing to the Galatians. Galatians 5, 22 to 23.
The fruit of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Paul is now writing to the Galatians, and he's not talking about the gifts of the Spirit, he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. What you see coming out as well. So these are the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you know why he's talking to them about the fruits of the Spirit? Because he was talking to them 3 verses further forward about how they were living. And it wasn't using the fruits of the Spirit. And he talks about there being two forces. And some people go to sinful nature. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, self-ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on and he says, but the Holy Spirit produces. The Holy Spirit is in you and is in me. The Holy Spirit is in you. It is in me. It produces fruits. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, godliness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They are fruits. They are things that we see coming out of you. I see those things coming out of you. You might see a few of those things coming out of me. You might not. But as we share together, as we love one another, as we care for one another, we see those fruits coming out. But also, we see those gifts coming out. It's not just about fruits. The Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. Church started as we know it now. And here we are now, gathered together as the fellowship of Southwood and Ferrers Evangelical Church. And these are the things that underpin us. These are the things that make us us. If we start having, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, self-ambition, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, then you're not going to see the next lot coming. Because it can't. Because it can't. But when we put all that side, all that lot to one side and say no, we're going to have no part of that. We are going to follow what happened on that cross. We are going to recognise who the Son of God was. We've taken him into our lives. In doing that, the third part of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us now. So all of that stuff, we have got access to. Peter stood up and was bold. About 3,000 joined the church that day. They carried on. They carried on and it grew. And they carried on and they kept going out. And they kept telling other people. And then it comes out to us. And we keep telling other people that we come across, that we live with, that we work with. We use those fruits. They should just shine out of us. and then we use those gifts, we've got access to all of that. Access to all of that. Why? Because those guys and those women waited on what Jesus said to them. Go back into Jerusalem and wait. My Father will send you the power that you need. And they were obedient and they took the next step. And they followed what Jesus was saying to them. What God was saying to them. And because they did that, God went, here's your power. Here it comes. They didn't know what was coming. We don't know what's going to come, right? But we follow the next step that he asks us to take. But we do that in the power of the Holy Spirit as well. And we look for that discernment. I'll tell you what, if you go home and you read the next few chapters of Acts, it is so exciting. It blows your socks off. It's so encouraging. It's exciting. The next stages that we go through as a fellowship will be exciting. Because God is with us. The power of the Holy Spirit is in us. Because of what the Son has done for us. It helps us to share what Jesus has done for us. Not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit.
God wants us to respond to him this morning. I'm not sure what that means like for you, what that looks like for you. It could be that actually God's calling you for the first time to actually fully commit your life to him. It could be that actually God wants to sort out something in you that's been troubling you. It could be that you need to ask God for his blessing, for his Holy Spirit to fill you again, and that he wants to give his gifts to you.